This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
On a Thursday night, week 7 of the NFL season is underway. We've got college football games on. Sean's alma mater's playing. We won't have to mention that score all that much.
Come back.
They've got them right where they want them. Down 25 late in the third quarter. But hey, the Broncos are showing some life here in the third quarter. It was 10-0, Sean, at the half. The Broncos had all of 97 yards of offense. They had two first downs. And here in the second half, they've come out with a new lease on life, passing it down the field. Teddy Two Gloves is throwing it all around, getting the ball to our guy, Cortland Sutton. Two more catches, Cortland. Let's get to that 5 catches. Let's get that over on receiving yards. But you and I are invested in this game. I've got multiple teaser legs. Multiple teasers, I should say, with the Broncos up to 8. So we need a score here. And you've got, what, Broncos money line?
Yeah, I've got Broncos money line. I've got under 42.
Well, that feels good.
14-10 is a great result for me. But it looks like we might have to settle for a field goal here unless something good happens on third down. But, hey.
Let's get to Cortland Sutton.
It's a good drive. You know, it shows they made some halftime adjustments to what they were getting presented with by the Cleveland Browns from a defensive perspective, and I like it.
We also have the NLCS going on at this moment in time. Not loving this score. It was 2-0.
I thought we were good.
I thought we were feeling good. I thought, you know, we were talking about it last night. I was all in on Max Fried. They've been pitching so well. 2-0 after the, touchdown.
Yes.
Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
There we go. Melvin Gordon. There you go. Pull up that graphic. Well done there, production team. Melvin Gordon, anytime touchdown, plus 175. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in. Knee did not touch. That's a great job by Melvin Gordon to keep his balance.
Oh, Wiley Vet.
Man, what a good play.
Remember
there.
How good he was at Wisconsin?
He was tremendous.
What would Wisconsin do to be good like that on offense now?
Does Gordon have any eligibility left? They'll call up Ron Dane. They'll call up Jonathan Taylor. Any one of those running backs they would be happy about to have there. But so we've got ourselves a new ball game.
We do.
Browns and Broncos. It's now 10-7 midway through the third quarter. That was a great,
tremendous,
great
had to be about
answer.
8 to 10 plays, right?
13.
Wow.
Plays. 79 yards, 7 minutes and 12 seconds. Once again, the Broncos had 97 yards of offense in the first half. They just went 79 yards to start the second half. That's a great job by the Broncos coming out of the locker room. And we'll see. I don't know if Von Miller has been ruled out or not. He left the game with an injury. So we will see. You know, we don't have the sound on in the studio. They threw us a little curveball, a little pump fake. We jumped in the air because the cameras pivoted to Drew Lock because Teddy kind of looked a little banged up. Remember, he was questionable entering this game.
Right.
We were thinking, oh boy, here we go.
I want a refund.
Yeah, we were going to go. Yeah. Hey, we didn't bet on Drew Lock. We wanted Teddy. But Teddy comes out and he was efficient right there, and that's what you want to see. Very good response there for the Broncos. When you look at the Browns in that first half, outgaining the Broncos 214-76, 12-2 in first downs.
Mm-hmm.
You have been critical, and I think fairly so, of Baker Mayfield so far. Case Keenum, 13 of 21, 122 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. What did you see from him in that first half?
Well, exactly like I said yesterday, there's not really a substantial difference, in my opinion, between Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum. And Case has proven me correct in the first half. Now, he has to come back out in the second half and put another consistent performance together. But it's not really a knock on Baker. It just is what it is. You know, I don't think Baker is an elite top-of-the-line quarterback. I think he's a solid quarterback. And That's how I view Case Keenum.
Well, how about your guy, D'Ernest Johnson, getting the opportunity? You
Ballers.
Coached him.
That's right.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt both out due to injury. So next man up opportunity here for D'Ernest Johnson. In that first half, Sean, he eclipsed his rushing prop for the game. He had 64 rushing yards. If you went the combined route, rushing and receiving, you still have some work to do because he had one catch for 4 yards, gets into the end zone. So really, you couldn't ask for more in a half of football from D'Ernest Johnson, who, correct me if I'm wrong, I think had like 5 carries on the year.
Yeah.
And he has stepped up in a big way here tonight for Cleveland. We'll see what his role is going to be here in the second half.
He's just one of those guys that knows how to swim without getting wet. You know, he gets tackled, but he never really takes hits. You know, some of the best feet that I've ever seen. Like, very, very difficult to tackle D'Ernest in one-on-one situations. And a lot of people don't know this. He's Edgerrin James' cousin.
Really?
Yeah, so he comes from a great, you know, gene pool, and he works hard. You know, he's great out of the backfield catching the football. He should be a starting running back somewhere. He just happens to be, you know, in a situation where he's behind two of the top 10 to 12 guys in the league, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But hopefully this opportunity will lead to him moving along somewhere and getting a chance to be the number one guy.
Well, I did not. I thought about it, but I didn't play it. Every time I think about it, it comes home. But anytime I do actually play
that
first time touchdown, it never comes home.
Yeah, he was plus 700.
But D'Ernest Johnson brings it home. So if you played that, D'Ernest Johnson was your first touchdown scorer of the game. So that comes home at 7-1.
I talked to him today, too. He was fired up. Really fired up about the opportunity. He's like, Coach King will make you guys proud. And hey, man, yeah, he's doing an outstanding job.
I would say he is making you proud quite a bit here.
My guy.
And, you know, a couple big runs in that first half. And, you know, for him, as we just take a small pivot aside, you know, maybe long term in Cleveland, he's not the guy because of Hunt and Chubb, but he's putting himself out there. He's putting a lot of tape out there now for the next couple of weeks for the rest of the league.
There becomes a time when you can't pay Chubb and Hunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bump, you know, D'Ernest up a little bit, and hey, you know, you keep it moving. I know he's extremely grateful to Cleveland because they are the organization that actually gave him a shot. You know, he's a guy that went undrafted, and, you know, it just shows sometimes, like, you have to really do your due diligence, and you can't get caught up in workout numbers. You know, he was battling some hamstring tightness and didn't run great 40, you know, but when you pull the film up, and it was 3 years worth of film, I mean, just time after time, he was doing the same things that he's doing tonight. So I'm glad to see him and his wife, you know, just had their first child together. So I'm happy, nice, you know, that he's doing great, man. Great kid. I like when great things happen to really good people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Just hearing a little bit of a roar in the crowd, and that usually means it's something good for a team in Los Angeles, and it was. The Dodgers now lead 6-2 in this spot. And what I said last night, and I was wrong about this game, or seems like I will be wrong about this game, Sean, because
dead wrong.
I thought Max Fried would come out and shove, you know, bullpen game, but that's the danger of going against this Dodgers lineup. Well, even without Justin Turner, they've got dudes like Chris Taylor who hit the walk-off homer in the, you know, wild card game, and he just comes through with a 2-run shot. He's got 8 RBI now in elimination games.
Yeah. I mean, but don't beat yourself up, man. How do we know Max Fried hadn't eaten between his last start and tonight? I mean, the boy out there like he needs some milk. I mean, jersey, clothes hanging all off him. Like, come on, Max. Throwing the ball underhand tonight.
Odell Beckham back out there. Back-to-back catches for Odell Beckham. A big third down conversion as the Browns trying to answer the Broncos' touchdown drive there. And I didn't pull up the live line as we sit here and watch this one, but you know, this is a spot. I wouldn't say a huge drive, but an important drive. And Case Keenum finding the holes in this secondary right now.
And another massive,
another big pickup there for,
like, look at this from the quarterback's perspective. Like, I'm not really sure what these linebackers are doing, but I mean, it doesn't get any easier than this. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, that is wide open. Is that Anthony? I think that's the
Anthony Schwartz.
Yeah, the rookie out of Auburn, yeah, there. Schwartz, the speedster, able to pick that one up. Just taking a look at the live line right
Tim,
now.
Tim, you could have made that throw.
I know. Yeah. I got a pretty good arm. A pretty good arm. Zinging in there. I don't know. Yeah, I would have messed it up somehow.
We believe in you.
There's your guy, D'Ernest. It does feel like right now the Broncos are selling out a bit on the run. And Keenum's taking advantage of it. Big third down conversion there. They're on the right side of the 50. But bend but don't break type of situation here for the Broncos. They were able to get a stop late in the first half to keep it at 10-0. You know, I haven't seen, I'm trying to see what Jarvis Landry. Landry, four catches so far today. So four catchy and 30 yards already for Jarvis Landry in his return.
And sometimes I don't think the TV version or presentation of this game does enough justice to how windy it is out there. I mean, yeah. Especially in the first half.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that wind was swirling. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, it's tough conditions for a quarterback. Extremely tough.
I tell you what, right there, that was an impressive. Case Keenum had a guy coming off the edge. I don't know how he got that out to Darren Johnson, but good play there.
14,000 yards, 75 total touchdown passes.
Whoa!
That's where that composure comes from, just having been in the fire, standing in there, completing that ball, knowing I'm going to get hit either way. So, you know, might as well do something productive for my offense.
NBA season, folks, has tipped off. We got plenty of games tonight. We'll get you updated on it. But there's still a time to grab the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, that includes Jonathan Von Tobel, provides strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. The digital guide is a must-have, folks. And get yourself a betting edge this season. The copy only $9.99. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Coming on back right here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in this segment being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go anywhere and anytime, so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint coffee and citrus. I am pausing watching Case Keenum get a first down and then fumble into the end zone. Zyn can also be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find your Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you can have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn contains nicotine, is only for adult nicotine consumers, 21 and over. Learn more and find your local realtor at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Oh. That's terrible.
Oh.
I mean, that's absolutely terrible.
Oh.
You have your two starting linebackers that can't tackle Case Keenum.
Oh.
Browns went for it on 4th-and-3. No one was open. Good job by the Broncos secondary. Case Keenum decided to scramble and simply ran through the tackle of both Bronco linebackers.
Oh, they had him. They had him.
That's where you can really have some fun with your players the next day. You know, maybe football just not for you. You know, we pay you to tackle. You know,
and touchdown.
They pay him to throw. What's wrong with this pitcher? Then you guys start getting mad.
Well,
touchdown, Browns.
I don't know if anyone had Johnny Stanton scoring a touchdown in this game, but there you have it. Browns go for it. Kevin Stefanski, the
gutsy call,
goes for it, 4th-and-3. To your point, the Broncos covered it well.
Yeah.
And there you go. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Touchdown.
So, what is it, 17-7?
Yeah.
So, 8.
We've had two drives, by the way, in this quarter. It is 27 seconds left in the third quarter. And now, it felt like, and that was... That was too easy of a drive for the Browns. I know that they converted on fourth down there, Sean, but that was easy. Other than the fourth down, there was a lot of... I mean, your guy, D'Ernest Johnson, was running all over the place, looking real good, and Now it's 17-7.
Trying to see how do we get the Broncos in the under here. 21-17 does it for us. So I need the defense to pitch a shutout in the fourth and two touchdowns from the great Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Hopefully get those to Courtland Sutton, too. So we need a couple more receptions for Courtland Sutton.
Okay. See, at least we have a focused.
Yep. See, I'm pulling for you, too. So, I mean, obviously, Broncos winning would be nice. I just need them to lose by less than seven. But.
Yeah, that don't really help me.
I know it doesn't help
that
you.
That doesn't really help
me. Yeah. I got a teaser with the Patriots and a teaser with the Packers. Patriots down to one, Packers down to 2.5. So we'll see. Broncos need to step up. They had a great drive to start the second half. Live line right now at DraftKings hasn't updated yet. We will get that for you as I hit the old refresh. Seven. Broncos plus seven. And over-under sitting at 34.5 with 27 seconds to go in the game here. So, your guy, D'Ernest Johnson, I'm sure a lot of people were scouring the waiver wires and trying to find him. I was one of them.
Not that
anyone cares about, my personal fantasy team. But if you played the player props, and I know Brad wasn't high on him, you didn't give him too much slack for that. You should have. Because you're like, that's my guy, D'Ernest Johnson.
Well, again, I hadn't looked at the weather report, and Brad was reporting like...
It's very windy.
It was the end of the world 2 coming, So it was hard for me to have an opinion. He made it seem like ice was going to be flying sideways. visibility was going to be at like 10%.
We record these Thursday night previews for the DraftKings preview show, and I talked about Courtland Sutton, and that was my player prop I liked over 4.5 and over he was 64.5 receiving yards. Then we talked to Brad, and he's calling for the
Armageddon,
the end of the world. I'm like, okay, well, Teddy Bridgewater's not going to be capable of throw because he's going to throw and then the ball's just going to be caught in the air and thrown out of bounds. So I'm not feeling great about that. But Sutton right now, 3 catches, 56 yards. So that's feeling good. But D'Ernest Johnson, if anyone figured that the Browns are going to want to run the football and give it to D'Ernest Johnson with Chubb and Hunt out, well, he's cash for you. Cashed on the over rushing yards, cashed on over rushing and receiving yards. 2 catches, 22 yards for Johnson. 13 carries for 80 yards, and he's not done, man. You get this ball back, you get a stop here, they're going to want to give it back to D'Ernest Johnson, who has looked really solid here tonight.
My guy, he's proven that he should be, at least a 2 at running back in this league. I think a 1. I'm pulling from my pockets from here on forward.
I know. You bet. You should have. You should not have bet on Denver tonight.
I need Denver's defense to, actually show up. Because right now I was hearing about this, top 3 rush defense that Denver has. It doesn't look like it so far.
By the way, Von Miller has been ruled out for the game.
That's unfortunate.
So Miller out for the remainder of the game. This is a big drive, as was the first one to start the half. Pressure's back
drives.
On Teddy Bridgewater here.
They're all big drives.
Yeah. He was nearly flawless on his last drive. Just quick updates across all other sports as the second drive here for the Broncos in the second half starts. Dodgers now leading 6-2 over the Braves, trying to stave off elimination, trying to force a game 6 in which you would have Max Scherzer on the hill, and then game 7, if they were to get there, would have Walker Buehler. So if they can somehow bridge that gap with only 3 starters, they would be sitting in a decent situation. So 6-2 right now in the top of the 6th inning. How about this? I'm mad at myself for overlooking this as a letdown spot. And I think Adam Burke on VSiN.com did write it up. Well done. Because Arkansas State, who is not good.
Yeah, they're bad.
They are playing Louisiana Lafayette, who is good. And coming off of that huge win last week were the Ragin' Cajuns. And I overlooked it because it was a Thursday night game, not on Saturday for that, those look-ahead spots or letdown spots. This is a massive letdown spot for UL Lafayette. Coming off that big win, you're going on the road to Arkansas State. You are laying 18 against Arkansas State, and you are life and death right now, as it is 28-27 early in the fourth quarter. Louisiana with a 1-point lead. So, Hey, man, that's college football
for
you.
These teams aren't built like they used to be. I just, like a letdown spot, man, we didn't cover. Like, Lafayette looks like they're about to
lose. They might lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Coastal Carolina actually lost. Like, it's some interesting things that happened in today's game, just with the mental makeup of some of the players. Having been a coach, I'm very familiar with it. Like, great teams don't lose these kind of games to 1-5 teams. It just doesn't happen.
Now you're
like, you get yourself motivated because it's an opportunity to go and showcase your skill set, to do something you love, but also to have a big game. I mean, there are going to be games where the guys are really good on the other side of the ball, and you're scratching and clawing for every yard. I mean, mm-hmm. No offense to Arkansas State and the Red Wolves Nation out there, but, man, when you play this type of team, it's like, okay, let's really go party. You know, let's have some fun. I'm not really sure how some of these teams get motivated for games, but
got to win your clunkers.
You know, like you say, every week there's a bunch of look-ahead spots and a bunch of letdown spots. So.
Yeah, and this was I'm kicking myself for not picking this one out. Like I said, I overlooked the Thursday game. I mean, last week they went at home. They rushed the field. It's, you know, party time down there in Lafayette. And now you go and you're going to a sleepy environment. It's not sleepy. I'm not, it looks like it's a pretty good crowd there at Arkansas
State. For me,
the
difficulty is you sat and watched Coastal Carolina not play with great energy or great discipline and lose. And to come out and, you know, kind of repeat that same scenario, you know, for me, as a coach, it'd be frustrating. As a fan, it'd be infuriating. And as a bettor, they're about to get into Cincinnati Red, Minnesota Viking corner. For those of you that don't know,
did you lay it with Lafayette tonight?
No.
I was going to say.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I missed that ship. That ship was last week. They were getting points at home against App State.
That was nice.
I missed the boat.
That was nice. By the way, another game going on right now. We're in a timeout, by the way. End of three quarters with the Broncos.
Woodshed happened.
And the Browns. It was 9-7 Charlotte at the half. They were a 6.5-point dog at home. Your guy Willie Taggart has turned on the Jets. It is now 37-9, extra point pending. And
that's another one of my guys. Number 5, Johnny Ford. What's up, Jay Ford? I had some backs, man.
Your alma mater. Trying to get the back door. Backdoor cover. Hey.
It's coming.
38-19 SMU leading Tulane. We'll keep you updated on Broncos and Browns. Also coming up next, we head to the Midwest, talk a little Big Ten football with The Athletic's Matt Fortuna. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates on all of the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. NC. Mm. You bet against your guy, Dearness Johnson.
I did not bet against
What is wrong
guy.
With you?
I didn't bet
That's
against
your guy.
My, come on.
You should have been betting prop bets. Should have been all in on your guy, Dearness Johnson.
I was not betting against my guy.
You're betting against
he's
the team.
Baller.
The
By
team
the way,
he's
can
on.
I, can I send a shout out right before we go to our guest? My little brother just texted me and said that him and his sons are watching the show down in Tampa, Florida. So shout out to my little brother, Sid.
Teaching his young ones young.
That's right. He's like, who's that tall ginger dude next to you?
That's me.
It's my guy, T. Murray. Come on, who we got?
All right, let's bring on Matt Fortuna, college football writer from The Athletic. Been on the show before. Was in Vegas last weekend. So, Matt, you survived last weekend. I guess congratulations are in order that you survived the Notre Dame bye week, a team that you cover pretty closely, and also a weekend in Vegas. Well done.
Guys, this is great timing. I'm not making this up. My COVID test just came back negative. So I'm officially off the hook for everything I did in your town.
Nice,
Double congratulations there for Matt Fortuna, who also keeps a close eye. He lives up in the Chicago area, so he keeps a close eye on the Big Ten, which the Big Ten East is just going to be a phenomenal story down the stretch. Next weekend is going to be.
Let's see what kind of eye he has. Go ahead.
Okay, do you want to
What's your current opinion of the Big Ten overall, and specifically this stretch of games we have coming up that's going to involve Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, all of which none have played each other so far?
Yeah, next week's going to be awesome. I mean, we're talking about the only two undefeated teams, assuming Michigan gets by Northwestern this weekend, the only two undefeated teams in the Big Ten play each other, and they happen to be arch rivals. Penn State and Ohio State are playing what's essentially an elimination game for the playoff. But then there's Iowa-Wisconsin, which Iowa's still the front runner in the Big Ten West, but I think we learned a lot about them in a bad way last week against Purdue. And look, say what you want about Wisconsin. They have not been a good team on the offensive side of the ball this season, but that's another rivalry game. Camp Randall's always a very tough place to play at. I think you look really all over the board at the Big Ten next week, and I can't recall a weekend in that conference that's going to be so jam-packed with games that have both Big Ten title and potentially college football playoff implications.
DraftKings put out some early look-ahead lines with Michigan, a two-point favorite at Michigan State, and Ohio State 11 against Penn State. You know, Matt, what's your read right now on Ohio State? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Right before the Maryland game, I grabbed C.J. Stroud at 30-1 to win the Heisman. It just feels like that offense, I still have a lot of questions about the defense, but that offense is starting to come into gear. They're at Indiana this weekend. They're laying 3 touchdowns. So maybe a look-ahead spot is Penn State coming to town next week. But just overall, is Ohio State turning that corner, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I mean, they're still the favorite, in my opinion, to win the Big Ten and to make the playoff. I mean, they're going to be favored in every game the rest of the year. I mean, I was a little surprised to hear that Penn State line was as big as it was. But, you know, for all the flaws of this team, for all the faults of this team, for all the youth of this team, they're the best offense in the country right now. And I'm not sure that's even debatable. I mean, they're averaging, 48.5 points per game? That's number one in the country. They're only getting better from here on out. They've scored 52 points or more in each of their last 3 games. I think they finally figured out Trey Henderson is a guy you can rely on, even though he's a true freshman. He has the makings of being maybe the next Saquon Barkley in the Big Ten. I think that highly of him from what I've seen from him through the first half of the season, first half of his freshman season of college football. So I'm very bullish on the Buckeyes. I know that defense still has a ways to go, but I'm just not sure there's anyone in that conference that can really keep up with them if they get into a track meet.
Now, Matt, I'm going to push back a little bit, and then you give me a counter argument here.
Tell
because
them why.
I hear you.
Tell them why.
I hear you. They scored 50 points, and you know they're looking better.
But
they
why are you pushing
figured
back?
Out how to utilize one running back. But then as I peel back some of this onion, it starts to smell like an onion because they've done this against Tulsa, Akron, Rutgers, and Maryland. So what do you say to the person that says, yeah, Ohio State looks better because they played the soft part of their schedule?
I mean, that's a fair criticism, but I also think that they had not shown, at least early on, that they were capable of doing that. I mean, we still don't know how good Oregon is, right? Like, I think we'll learn this week. Oregon's underdog at UCLA. I think Oregon's going to win that game, and frankly, I think Oregon will be favored from here on out. If they win out, they're probably going to be in the playoff. But, you know, based on what we've seen from them the last couple of weeks, that's far from a sure thing. So I think that Oregon game really, knocked some sense into the Buckeyes, for lack of a better term. That Minnesota game, it was like see ball, get ball, touchdown. Like, we knew how dynamic they were offensively, and yet I felt like the defense is what won them that game because they had a scoop and score touchdown that really helped them get away from the relentless Gophers offense that night. So, I mean, the competition point is fair. I'm not going to argue that. But I haven't seen anything from the 3 teams left on their schedule, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State, at least offensively, that makes me think that they're going to be able to keep up with those guys.
Talking once again to Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. We're going to get to the game that he's going to be covering in person on Saturday in just a moment. But When you look at Penn State, when you look at Michigan and Michigan State, that Michigan-Michigan State game is going to be your just classic, whatever cliches they use for old Big Ten football, roll the sleeves up, all that fun stuff. By the way, just Matt, all disclosure here, my partner is Captain Sparty, 85-1 to win the Big Ten.
Ooh.
I've been giving him a hard time. I mean, they were dominant in that 20-15 win at Indiana.
Hey, listen, when you take an 85-1 team, Matt, and you're through 6 weeks of the season,
for you.
7 weeks of the season to be exact, and they're undefeated and still control their destiny because they do play everything that would be in between them and the championship. I mean, you're happy.
You want to know who wasn't happy? Me, because I took Indiana live +4.5 when I was in Vegas.
I was on Indiana. I was on Indiana +4. I was out of town. I was with my family at Zion National Park. I'm sitting there at lunch. My brother-in-law looks at me and goes, "You're mad about an Indiana-Michigan State game?" I go, "Yeah, I took Indiana plus
yes,
the 4 points."
I tell you guys about betting with bad teams.
That classic trap game ridden all over it.
I know.
They survived it, so I do think that, like, credit to Sparty for that.
Yeah, they got that stop on that two-point conversion, and their kicker magically turned into Justin Tucker, burying a 49-yarder. But, hey, we move on. Let's get to the game that you're going to be covering. You and Pete Sampson co-host the Shamrock Podcast covering Notre Dame football. They're coming off a bye. USC's coming off a bye. The Bear, Chris Felica, I thought, put out an interesting nugget today. This is the third straight time that a unranked USC team has played a top 15 Notre Dame team. The last two times, USC has covered. Now you got Notre Dame laying 7. I don't normally bet on Notre Dame. It's just the way I am as a fan. It's my one indulgence. It's my ice cream, if you will, when it comes to college sports. So I usually stay away. But this one, I go back and forth because I think the bye week absolutely benefits Notre Dame because I don't know what USC was doing during that bye week. But I know that USC does have talent. They can get up for this game. And it's not like Notre Dame has been world beaters so far this year. So what is your pulse, your feel of what we could expect come Saturday night in South Bend?
Yeah, I've got a couple other interesting stats for you. This is the fifth different USC coach Brian Kelly will have faced at this time at Notre Dame, to give you a sense of how crazy it's been. I believe the other four came in four straight years, if my memory serves me correctly. These are also the two teams with they have the share for the longest road winning streak in college football. USC has been fine on the road, has been terrible at the Coliseum this year. Look, Notre Dame, you know this as well as I do, really tough team to handicap this year. I mean, you look at that schedule, they're probably going to be favored in the rest of their games. You think they're probably going to be 11-1, and yet you watch them against, like, Toledo and Florida State, and you think, how is this team ever going to win a game again? Like, they are just, they don't know. They've had the same starting quarterback every game so far this season, and yet have played three quarterbacks and are very unsure about what they're going to do with that position throughout the rest of the season. So that has some uncertainty. The status of Jackson Dart at USC creates a little bit of uncertainty. I will say, though, if there's a silver lining for Notre Dame, they went to Tulane Stadium in their last time out, Saturday night, raucous environment. And I'm not saying they snapped their fingers and figured everything out their offensive line, because that unit still has a long way to go. But they did run for 180 yards, which was by far their highest rushing total all season long. We don't know if they'll have Chris Tyree this weekend, who suffered turf toe late in that game and has been banged up the last 2 weeks. But they're going against the USC defense that is 102nd nationally in sacks, and that's 125th nationally in tackles for loss. If ever there was a recipe and a night, especially in the cold weather, for this Notre Dame offense, this Notre Dame ground game to truly assert itself, this would be it.
And there it is.
It's a rivalry
Matt,
game.
We got to run. That is Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. It is the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the nightcap on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Indeed. That's that one up there, Sean. Indeed helps you find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the nightcap. That's Sean King, former Tulane Green Wave great. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks again to Matt Fortuna for giving us his thoughts on the Big Ten and Notre Dame and USC. Notre Dame right now a 7-point favorite in that one.
Some totes going on in Louisiana Lafayette, Arkansas State. Smith is running the ball. They're putting together a drive that you expect them to put together. Probably no solace for the people that took Lafayette and the points. But unlike Coastal Carolina, it looks like they're going to find a way to actually secure the victory.
28-27. I do want to, because we were off the air, and I appreciate the confidence. Sean looks at me after the Browns score a touchdown to make it 17-7, and he goes, "It's okay. Denver will be down 17-14 with the ball with 3 minutes to go."
That's right.
And I said, "Okay, great. I mean, I'd be happy with that. The teaser legs would be alive. You would certainly be alive for your money line play. And we just need one more catch. I mean, Cortland Sutton right now, 4 catches, 58 yards. We are under on both, but we are in striking distance on both. 4.5, 65.5. We can get there. One more. An 8-yard reception. We're good. As someone on this set would say, we'd be Gucci.
Gucci. That's
I'd be,
right.
I'd be happy about that.
And it's going to happen. I mean, you have exactly what you needed. A tight game.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, I think it's a second and short. Our third and short
third
coming
and
up
short,
here.
Third and one. Big third and one here. Sean King, offensive coordinator, what do you call third and one from the 39?
Something that gets me to the edge.
Two possess. So this is a
play action works.
Oh no.
Play action works.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's the Sutton.
Boom.
Yeah.
Over on reception, receiving yards.
See my coordinated mind? Something that gets me to the edge. That's
go.
Right. So I have
little,
options.
Little play action to Cortland Sutton. Over on receptions. Over on yardage. That makes me happy.
Now let's go over on total amount of points.
Well, you did predict, because you have the under, right?
Yeah, I have the under.
So Sean was sitting here, similar time, at 17-7, and he's doing the quick math. He goes, "How can I get a Broncos win and the under?"
Right.
Yeah. He's like, 21-17.
Sounds great.
And right now, under 8 minutes to go, here come the Broncos. They are.
We got to pick the pace up just a little bit on offense. I don't know if I'm still huddling. I've already transitioned to 2-minute offense. You know, because here's what happens I call these gap situations. Denver's still taking time because it's only a 2-score game. But the amount of time you waste from about right under 9 minutes to whenever this drive ends, if you would have switched into 2-minute mode, that's probably an extra 1:45 in actual game time you'll have on the back end. You know, you think when I start saying they needed to hurry up, it was 8 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all the way down to 7:19. You know, it doesn't seem like it matters, but those 40 seconds matter when all of a sudden Cleveland gets 2 first downs and they get the ball back. And now you get the ball back with only 41 seconds as opposed to 1:20 or 1:19. So you just have to be careful not to get too methodical, you know, in these situations and have like a sense of urgency to what you're doing.
By the way, we do have a game. Oh, this is always glorious. We have a game that hasn't kicked off yet. San Jose State and UNLV, and it looks like this game is going to go off San Jose State 5.5 here in town. There is a 6 out there in favor of the Spartans. You know, last night it was sitting around 4, 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know if David Brumfield would be playing for UNLV. He is not going to be playing, so that is where we stand right now with that. So it will be Friel, the freshman, will be going for UNLV, and I believe Nick Starkel is playing for San Jose State.
Yeah, obviously because the line has moved significantly since earlier in the week when we gave our opinions on this game. And how much of Starkel not being there has impacted San Jose State's season? This was a team that had super high expectations mm-hmm. coming into this game. You know, you lose your starting quarterback, that's always an issue. So we'll see. First of all, was his absence the reason, you know, for the results that San Jose State has? And secondly, is he completely healthy? So we'll find out in a little bit. By the way, UNLV has been super competitive this season. Yeah, haven't found a way to get over the hump and actually win these games, but they're improving the talent level, you know, there, and hopefully it can start resulting in some wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough. I mean, they're 0-6. They had that overtime loss earlier in the year to Eastern Washington. The past 2 weeks, they had that. It was a Friday night against Fresno State. Mm-hmm. They were up. They end up losing by 8, do get the cover. And then last week, they got the cover against Utah State, but also losing. So it feels like they're getting there, but injuries have not helped at the quarterback position because it just felt differently when Brumfield was in the game against Fresno State. But it is going to be the freshman Cameron Friel, hopefully, just down the road. I don't have a dog in the fight. I hope that UNLV wins. That'd be great.
Likewise.
Could go for the local team. Likewise. So should I... Nah, I was going to say, should I just... Nah.
Unless you're going to go Moneyline.
Could do Moneyline.
And then you got a ticket. You can put it on social media. I knew they'd win tonight.
I'm so smart. 7:20 to go in the fourth quarter. 10-point lead for the Browns, I beg your pardon. Broncos with the ball inside the 30. Teddy Bridgewater trying to make another solid drive here for the Broncos. And, you know, that should be a first down, depending on where that spot is. So the Broncos, the offense has been obviously much better here in the second half. Sean, what has led to, in your opinion, the success here in the second half for the Broncos offensively?
Well, I think Denver came out trying to be really aggressive and push the ball down the field. And, you know, Cleveland's got one of the elite pass rushes, you know, in football. Mm-hmm. And they weren't balanced. They couldn't run the ball. They've come out in the second half. You can see that they've gone to more of the short, quick passing game, getting the ball out of Teddy's hands. And that's had it's actually produced a really good result for them. They've been able to put some drives together, you know, and kind of move the football down the field. Running game has improved. But, again, this game is going to come down to they need to figure out, you know, how to get some points on the board right here and finish this drive, preferably with a touchdown. But I still think they've got to speed up, you know, their operating procedures right now. I still think they're taking a little too much time.
You know, I felt a lot better, Sean, about my over 8.5 wins for Denver after the third week of the season.
It's been rough 4 weeks. It's been a rough 4 weeks, bro.
I mean, I know they're on the road here tonight, but my goodness, you're facing a team without its two starting running backs, without its starting quarterback, and I know you two personally don't think that's that big of a deal here tonight, but man, oh man, it is yowzers. This would be a tough one here for the Broncos.
So now Cleveland has made the adjustment, and these DBs are sitting on all of these routes. They're daring Denver to throw the ball down the field. So Denver's going to have to make some adjustments. We may not be able to dink and dunk their way to victory tonight. We're going to have to make some contested throws and catches down the field.
Big third down and 10 here for the Broncos. And Noah Fant.
Close. It's going to be close.
Where'd he get it? Here's
what's amazing.
Nose of the ball. Yeah, that's a first down.
I was going to say, here's what's amazing. There's no way that the ref that spotted that ball has any idea. Like, he's behind Noah Fant right now. Okay, watch, Tim. He's behind 87.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they're going to review that bad boy. That's a bad – his foot, his toe. They better get on the ball.
It's still going to be close, though.
Yeah, it's going to be – yeah, they're going to review this thing. 6:13 to go. There's going to be a review on a critical spot. On the field, it was a first down for Noah Fant, but it looks like his toe tapped out of bounds. But the tricky part is, where is the ball?
It's still going to be super, super tough to overturn.
And that's fine by me. Yeah, because his toe taps right there out of bounds. There's the ball. It's
they're
short.
They're going to bring it
10.
Back a little bit.
Yeah, that's going to be a fourth down. Right. So they're going to be a fourth down here coming for the Broncos.
So do you go for it here down 10, or do you kick the field goal?
Great question. I think you go for it. It's that short. But you would kick. It's that short, but you're doing the devil's play. By the way, SMU just scored another touchdown.
Yeah, I saw that. I was trying to ignore that game. I'm going the way I wanted it to. I don't know what I'd do on the other side of the break. Let me think about this one.
SMU, yeah, by the way.
I have to think about this one.
Good news for Cincinnati. SMU now up 55-26. That November 20th game, if SMU can dance around some potential landmines, including Houston next week, it's going to be a big one. But we got a big review happening right now in Cleveland. We'll get you updated on the other side. That's Sean. I'm Tim. It's the Nightcap. You're on VSiN.